Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Save big on everything for your next outdoor project when you shop at Menards. Greenworks 40-volt cordless tools have everything you need to keep your yard looking great. The Greenworks cordless trimmer and edger is lightweight, starts instantly, and comes with a 40-volt battery and charger. Pick one up today, on sale, now through June 1st. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
It is Wednesday, May 28th, here on the Damon Bruce Show, brought to you by Ike Sandwiches and our good friends at the Dubliner, West Portal, as always. And John Chapman is nice enough to join me today, the host of the 49ers Rush podcast and YouTube channel. He does incredible meetups on the road. 49ers fans, you know who John Chapman is. And let me tell you, John, I'm really happy that I know who you are, too. After all my time in radio, I get thrown into this new space and I start looking around this new space. You're one of the first guys I found who did something that I'm like, wow, he's really good at this. I love what he's doing. I love how he's built his community. And you're great at what you do, man. So it's a real pleasure to finally have you on the channel. This has been a long time coming. I'm glad you're here.
Man, I appreciate it. And big props to you, man. And like one of my favorite things about kind of this community that is whatever 49ers sports content, whatever you want to call it, is like, man, we do so much of it that who you are shows out. And David, you've been doing this for a little bit. And man, I just can't say thank you enough just for all the hours of entertainment that you provided me. And so, I learned early, just be who you are. If the people like it, they'll watch. If they don't, they'll find something else. And maybe I pride myself in helping people find something else, whatever that is. So glad to be here, man.
Well, it's really cool. And as we were talking about, the show even started, you began as a podcast and then evolved into YouTube, where I take my YouTube show and then turn it around as a podcast. So that has you, even though you are now located in the Bay Area, you think most of your audience is actually coming from outside of the state of California, because that's where you were found as a podcaster.
So like for the Bay Area people, you've got the radio stations. That's where you get your information. But, you know, me, I was born and raised in Dallas, Texas. And so I became a fan because I hated my stepdad, who was a Cowboys fan. And so like we had to find, I remember watching ESPN for an hour straight just so I get that 1 minute clip of Niners news. And then I'd rewatch it again, the exact same airing, just so I could have like, I've got to get every single ounce. But now, with podcasts and all that stuff. And so we started off on podcast. We weren't even on Spotify. Like we were just Apple. That's all we were on whenever it was going on. And I think that it kind of got picked up with the faithful from abroad and overseas and, you know, all the Facebook groups and all that stuff. And so now we're, you know, I live in the Bay Area now and we are infiltrating the 49ers fans that are in the Bay Area. But most of our fans, when we do these meetups at the road games and stuff, most of them live outside of California and outside the Bay Area. So it's nice bridging these two communities together.
Were you a little bummed they didn't get the international trip? I was even talking to Kruger. I'm like, we're going. If they're playing in London, if they're going to Germany, let's go out for a week. And we kind of had a little pact we were going to do it. Then the schedule comes out. I'm like, well, I guess not this year.
Man, we actually hosted events in Mexico City when they were there 3 years ago. Rented buses, like, man, we had about 200 people going with us to the game and tailgate and all. it was like, I'll say this. I've been to Super Bowls and I've been to international game. I will never miss a 49ers international game as long as I am able. The fan experience is worlds above, at a fraction of the cost of what a Super Bowl is. Now, from the game standpoint, you know, seeing the Niners host number six, that's going to be incredible. But if you ever have the opportunity, anybody, this is for everybody listening, international games, trust me, you will not be disappointed.
There you go. I hope it happens on the calendar. I mean, I really do. I just got back from Japan not too long ago with my wife. Traveling is just the best thing you can do to open your mind and have a look around the world. It's a big, wonderful place out there. Anyway, look, if you want a big, wonderful sandwich, get yourself to Ike's this afternoon. I got to plug my sponsor, Ike's Sandwiches. If you are living somewhere where you don't have an Ike's around you, boy, I hope it's coming soon. He's got over 125 locations, mostly on the West Coast, expanding eastward. Check out Ike's Catering for your office. Have a Damon Bruce. I'm a delicious sandwich. You're going to like, if you don't like the show, that's fine. You're going to love the sandwich. I promise you that. And our good friends at the Dubliner, as always, I'm just rocking the t-shirt. Just happened. West Portal right there. You know, you got to like a bar that literally has a Muni stop right in front of it. So that takes care of half the battle. Get yourself to the Dubliner and tell them that the Plouse sent you. Now, John, I know that your meetups are sponsored as well. So let's get that in.
Yeah. So we are doing every single road game for the 49ers this year, all eight. Now, we don't do the Rams one because that's not a road game. Obviously, we take over SoFi every year. So whether that's Seahawks, Arizona, New Orleans, Houston, New York, the 49ers Rush Road Trip, we go out and we host a rally the day before. Everything that we always do is family friendly. Kids are always free, under 18 with a ticketed adult, to every event we do. Obviously, they don't get the drinks and stuff at the tailgate, but all the giveaways and stuff. So we do a rally the day before, usually about 2 to 6 p.m., and then we host a 3.5 hour tailgate right before the game, all drinks, everything included. So all you got to do is go to the TickPick app or TickPick.com and just type in 49ers Rush. It'll pull up all of our events. You can get your tickets there. It's got all the details and all that stuff. So we go in and rent out these venues in different cities. Like when we're in Bourbon, you know, when they play New Orleans, we've got a spot already on Bourbon Street. Can't wait. If you've never been, come check it out. Because trust me, you party with the faithful, you instant community, you're going to meet a lot of people and you're going to have a great time. So TickPick.com, search 49ers Rush and all of our events will pull up.
Absolutely love it. By the way, we are streaming on both of our YouTube channels. Hello, Edinburgh, Scotland. Hello, Connor. He's listening over on your side. We got Rob D., New York City, Niner Empire. We've got, how about this? One of my regulars, Red Jet, dropping the first super of the day. Jeez, saying, not enough snaps out there for John Chapman. Hit that like button. And indeed, Z snaps for everyone. It's great to see you all today. Thank you for being here. And John, let's just hop right into it because this is a schedule that is an invitation to the 49ers to have a successful football season. I really hope that they accept this invitation and show up. If healthy, I think it's going to be a good year for them. Let's start with something real simple. What has you most excited about this team's prospects this upcoming season?
The number one addition, it's not players, it's not draft picks, it's not even the fourth place schedule. It's the coaching additions. The fact that you brought in Robert Saleh, who I think most in the NFL consider to be a top five defensive coordinator, and replace Nick Sorensen, who he's gone. I'm going to say this on your show. I hope this is cool. I think he's the worst 49ers defensive coordinator in the history of the franchise. He gave up the most rushing touchdowns in franchise history. Could not stop anybody, not to mention all the blown coverages. That is the biggest addition. And you can throw in a bonus there, Brant Boyer, the special teams coordinator coming in for Schneider. I think that's huge. And even today, you know, we're seeing even more of this overhaul of the special teams units, whether it's kicker, long snapper, punter, specialist, doesn't matter. The coaching addition, I think, is the biggest impact because finally you're going to get back to solid, simplistic defense. Robert Saleh runs a very simple scheme where you don't have to worry about coverage bust every single game. You can actually guard a bunch trips, which I don't think there was one game last year that we successfully, you know, covered bunch trips. Starting at week two against Minnesota, Kevin O'Connell took Sorensen to the woodshed, and everybody just copy and pasted his game plan on third downs, and we could never stop it. So I'm excited about just having an adequate defensive coordinator that can put together a solid game plan and execute on a consistent basis with Robert Saleh.
That would almost be where I start my list as well. Saleh and Boyer to me are just, you know, I know this is a Harbaugh phrase, but trusted agents. And I didn't think Nick Sorensen was a trusted agent. Again, I was in the room with him. The man did not really command the room. If you can't command a room full of dorky people who cover in the press, I don't know how well you do in front of a football team. I also felt like last year, Kyle Shanahan got writer's block, the coaching equivalent of writer's block. And the pen that gives him the ink to write the chapters that I think he's so good at writing is back in Christian McCaffrey. And this is a huge, if healthy, I think this is one of the best players in all of football. And like, it's always out of sight, out of mind. And I think that we diminished and forgot the impact that this guy had, because Kyle Shanahan was running a pretty successful football team before Christian McCaffrey. And then this guy is the skeleton key that unlocked the 49ers' best offense and matrix that we have seen. Just having Christian McCaffrey back, I don't think that we can highlight that enough. And if he's really healthy and just 90% of who he used to be, that's still better than 90% of all playmakers in this league.
I am curious. There were a lot of ifs there. You know what I mean? And I think this is where 49ers fans are, because Christian McCaffrey was out there breaking Jerry Rice type records with the touchdowns every single game. And just, you know, what could he not do, whether it was receiving, rushing, just so consistent. Can you get that back? We saw him for three games last year, but not really himself. And then we finally get to that Buffalo game and it's like, oh, you started to see the explosiveness. You started to see all that stuff. And then he got injured again. So can he be what he was? And you got to remember, the 49ers have Christian McCaffrey signed for not 1 year, not 2 year, but three more years. What is that going to look like? Is there going to be any type of load management whatsoever? I doubt it. If Christian McCaffrey's healthy, do you fully expect Kyle Shanahan to just say, hey, Christian McCaffrey, you're playing 98% of plays like you were pre-injury?
He's got to have some coaching discipline. He has to. He has to get this player off the field, especially in matters in downs and distances that no longer are determining the outcome of the game. Like, he can't be out there unless it's a high leverage snap.
Yeah. And I mean, we've seen this where, you know, Nick Bosa is out there. You're up 21 points in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left. Like, that is just there. One of my critiques, and I'm a very big fan that Kyle Shanahan is the coach of the 49ers, but I hate how he allows players to dictate their own playing time. I think that is a, one, you're missing out on solid reps for the development of guys that don't get playing time. And two, you are risking injury in that situation. But Christian McCaffrey's almost everything. And we even saw Brock Purdy get away from checkdowns when Christian McCaffrey was. We would see Jordan Mason wide open staring at Brock Purdy uncovered. And like Brock Purdy, I just couldn't see him. So I'm hoping that, you know, with bringing back Christian McCaffrey, the check down, the efficiency, the red zone, that was the major red flag of the offense last year. Is Christian McCaffrey enough to kind of remedy all of those major flaws in this offense? Man, I sure hope so.
We pause for supers, especially when one comes in from Rob C., known as Rob C-Note in this community. I went to an Oakland baseball game last night. I saw the best only Oakland baseball team this year, sold out crowd of 3,000, Too Short performed two songs to start it off. Go Ballers. Yeah, you know, I just did a video about terrible A's practices by screwing kids over, running the bases, and the Ballers were like, look at all these kids crossing our home plate. And they invited me and my family out to a game. I got to get out to a Ballers game soon. I really do, Rob. Thank you very much for your generosity, as always, brother. We really, really appreciate that. Like and subscribe, our good friends, to not only Damon Bruce Plus. If you're watching over on John's channel, boy, I'd appreciate you coming over here, hitting like and subscribe, and vice versa. If you're watching on Damon Bruce Plus, you run over to 49ers Rush YouTube page. You like and subscribe over there as well. What we like the most, what has piqued our interest, what are you worried about? What's the one incomplete as we head into 2025 that has you up at night?
It's the depth. There's not depth, and I'm 100% okay with the youth movement. I'm okay with 11 draft picks and paving a way for these rookies to step in and compete, which we haven't seen with the 49ers. You know, they usually redshirt rookies.
Yeah.
That luxury is out the window. You literally sat out free agency and didn't sign anybody, and you saw player after player leave. I'm okay with that. I really thought that they missed a major opportunity in getting some role players in, some depth piece players in at the defensive line, at the cornerback spot. I don't think that they addressed that. And so even if you have a 50% hit rate with this rookie class, which would be Hall of Fame worthy, like you did it last year. Like you look at, you know, last year's draft class for the 49ers, you got like 4 to 5 starters, A+. You have to do that again. And even if you do that again, if there's one or two injuries at the defensive tackle room, at the defensive end room, at the cornerback room, man, you're going to be in dire straits really, really quick. So right now you look at the starters and you look at the 11 on defense, 11 on offense, the projections, it's beautiful. However, football has 100% injury rate. And if you have a couple of those injuries, which the 49ers are kind of notorious for, I do not believe that they have the depth built in to be able to withstand that. I'm a little concerned because you are shy a lot of positions after you get past that first kind of starter level.
Yeah, I don't think 49ers fans understand how like critically important Juwan Jennings' health is to this season going to the playoffs or not. Like if that guy were to bow out, you know, he's often overlooked and under respected when we're talking about really good wide receivers in the league. I think he's a good player. He is one of the 49ers' most important players just by circumstances. And that guy has got to have a huge year. I think we are about to see Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle in the slot and being used more as wide receivers than as their natural positions. Number one, they can do it. Number two, they have to.
Yeah, especially early. You know, if you're looking at Brandon Ayuk, who, you know, Mayoko came out and said they're thinking like October-ish. That, I still think that's on the early side, personally.
We'll see in Thanksgiving, everybody. Anything before Thanksgiving would be gravy, so.
And then you add on to Marcus Robinson, who I think is who they want the number three wide receiver to be. He's got the DUI suspension coming. So for those first 2 to 3 weeks, which, by the way, you're playing Seattle, week one. Like, you come out of the gate, divisional road game. You've got to have that figured out. Now, Kyle Shanahan's at his best in 12 and 21 personnel. That does help. I hope, I really do, Damon, to mitigate some of the Christian McCaffrey usage, why not go out there in 21 personnel? That's two running backs and a tight end. And you've got Isaac Garendo and Christian McCaffrey in the backfield. You motion Christian McCaffrey out there to the slot. Oh, that would just solve so many problems early on. CMC this? Could be a slot guy. I'd be fine.
You're not going to really use him as a blocker, especially on the goal line. Let's get Kyle Juszczyk involved in this offense again. You're paying this fullback all this money. Use him.
Yeah, and again, you know, we saw Kyle Juszczyk as a third down running back last year with all those running back injuries. I'm not a fan of that one too much, but like the pass protection, I get it. He knows the assignments. He knows the routes. He'll catch it if you throw it to him. But yeah, in the short yardage, man, let's get, again, stick to that 21 personnel. Have Kyle Juszczyk in that fullback role, get some fullback overruns. Oh, man. You remember this dude scored multiple touchdowns in the Super Bowl. Like, he's still efficient. You just got to get him the ball in short yardage situations whenever he's not a true tailback. Use the fullback. Come on, William Floyd, let's go. Let's go back to the old school, man. The Omega sign. I love that. I think that's what they need. A little old school thumping.
They have to run it in when they're inside the five. I mean, that's just, big football teams play big boy football. And I guess that brings us to another, what has been a very, you know, cause celeb concern of the 49ers. And that's been their offensive line. Better than a lot of people want to admit, but not as good nearly as what we saw, you know, just win a Super Bowl. I mean, I thought that the lesson of this year's Super Bowl was simply trench warfare matters again in football. And the 49ers clearly took the note defensively by the way they went about their draft. But beyond that, I mean, there is Trent Williams back, hopefully healthy, And guys, let's get our shit together seems to be the way they're going to go about building this offensive line again. They were a middle of the road offensive line. They were not objectionally offensive at what they did. They didn't have the right running backs to hit the holes, but they really did create a good win rate at the line of scrimmage. Just guys didn't do much with it. I'm a little bit worried, but I'm also like, I think I'm talking myself into just letting it happen before I declare it a failure before we even get going. Like I'm the guy who thinks Colton McKivitz is actually a little bit better than a lot of people want to give him credit for.
I'm with you there. I think the right tackle position in the NFL is the most devoid of talent of all 22 starters, offense, defense. There's just not a lot of good right tackles. There really isn't. And we saw what happened to Jalen Moore. He goes, gets $15 million a year to the Chiefs. I think Colton McKivitz is going to get more than that next year. But the approach that the 49ers are taking with the offensive line, Bruce, is, man, we're going to get a lot of bodies. And so, like, you know, I talked about depth being a concern. There are bodies on the offensive line. I think you have four legitimate contenders for that left guard spot. Ben Bartsch, Spencer Burford, the other longtime draft pick, and you've got Connor Colby, who they just drafted. Nick Sakel is who I was referencing a while ago. So, like, you've got, like, who's going to win that job? I think they want it to be Ben Bartsch. He's on a one-year, $1 million deal. So, like, where is the, like, faith or confidence in this? It's, we've got a lot of bodies. Now, the Kyle Shanahan offensive line, Chris Forster, buys into this philosophy as well. It's very O-line friendly. If you can move and you have the athleticism, we can make up for a lot of your power or strength concerns. Think about Jake Brendel, probably worst play strength of any center the past decade of the 49ers, but he is very, very athletic. And so they're just saying, look, our scheme, the play action boots, we're going to get it on short third down yardage. That's going to make up for a lot of our inefficiencies. But you do see, you talked about, you know, the Eagles just won the Super Bowl. Well, they go out and they draft not one, not two, but three offensive linemen in the draft. You look at the Lions, they draft two more offensive linemen. They're returning all starters. Some teams put a priority on the offensive line. The 49ers are not one. The 49ers are the only franchise in the NFL that have not drafted a tackle or a center in three consecutive drafts.
Wow. I did not know that. That's
it's embarrassing.
So is that the blind spot? Is that the blind spot of the Shanahan regime? And will that ultimately be the reason why this team isn't just keeping up with trends?
I think, and John Lynch even talked about this. Well, there was a tackle we were going to get, but the Raiders took two offensive tackles right before them in the draft. The two picks ahead of them, Raiders had back-to-back picks, and I don't remember the tackles off the top of my head, but I think that one of, you know, my draft axioms is that quarterbacks, offensive tackles, and defensive ends always get pushed up the draft. And so whenever other teams have such a premium that they place on offensive tackles, and then you have the 49ers that are just kind of like, meh, they're not going to be there whenever it's your turn to pick on the board, because the 49ers just don't value the position like other teams do. They put a premium the other teams do. And that's, I don't think that, you know, the 49ers went into this draft saying three consecutive years, guys, no centers, no tackles. Let's keep it going. But these other teams put such a high priority on those spots. You're kind of left, you know, musical chairs. They're all gone because other people push them up their board where the 49ers just do not.
Dale, who's coming in from your side and your channel, says the Niners can't pound with this line in the run game. At most 1.5 seconds of protection in the passing game. Is it good enough to win? It is good enough to win. Look, Purdy's got to get the ball out faster. There is no doubt about that. And if him cooking the grenade was directly related to a lack of separation, then the right play might just be to throw the damn ball away. You know, just no negative yardage plays, fewer negative yardage plays. There's no such thing as no negative yardage, but fewer negative yardage plays has to be one of the goals of this year. And Purdy just getting rid of the ball is going to make that offensive line look better than it might be.
Yeah, that was a major issue last year. You'd get a drive going, and then you'd have not only one penalty, but back-to-back. the amount of times the 49ers stacked negative offensive plays on drives last year in the 2024 season, it was just like, all right, man, we're at second and four. Like, you're on pace. You're on schedule, ahead of the chains. False start. Okay, cool. Second and nine. We just got a tackle for loss. Third and 11. Like, that's not the way to play football in a healthy way for at any level, no matter who your quarterback is or offensive line is. Now, if Brock Purdy, and we talked about this earlier, starts to check the ball down more, you have Christian McCaffrey, is going to keep you ahead of the chains. One of Christian McCaffrey's, like, it's funny when people talk CMC. What makes Christian McCaffrey so great, it's his vision. It's not speed. It's not elusiveness. It's just he sees where I can get what I need to get at all times. Yeah. He's not big. He's not fat. He's not even that fast. He's not even one of the fastest running backs on the team. But he just always sees where he's supposed to go, even whenever it's not there. And so whenever you – now, the worst vision on the team is Isaac Arendo, who you were very dependent upon last year. Continuously runs into the backs of his own blockers. So if you just up the efficiency of the run game a little bit and you get yourself in third and shorts, that makes it where the defense cannot pin their ears back. And you don't have to do so many empty sets. I hate it when Kyle Shanahan goes empty. It's like one of my biggest pet peeves. Like, the threat of the run game forces the linebackers to play run pass, and the threat of the run game forces the defensive line that you're going against to stay in their lanes and occupy their linemen.
It feels like so many good things flow from play action, and you're basically saying you're getting no play action on this play. It is weird. It's also odd that Kyle Shanahan seems to object to the concept of hurry-up offense. Like, where is your no-huddle offense? There is a pace at which he plays that is a little too paced out in closing moments of games. And with his, you know, incredibly poor record of winning when behind in the fourth quarter, you think that this would be some internal, you know, inventory that he's taking of his own job as a coach. And I hope that Kubiak is empowered to just say, hey, Kyle, we gotta pick up and go when the clock says so.
This is one of the inherent flaws in the Shanahan scheme. And this is Father Kubiak, Father Shanahan. Like, this, the coaching tree, the offensive philosophy is this: we're going to get the best play at the best situation. So this idea of, well, let's just turn it over to the quarterback. Let's get the spread call. We're calling everything. No. Kyle Shanahan, I guarantee you, if Kyle Shanahan watched those types of offenses, whether in college or whatever else, he's disgusted. Like, that is just not in the wavelength or understanding of how you call a good football game. That's not what he believes. There's a certain play that I want in this situation. So we're going to huddle. We're going to call that play. And we're going to give two audible trash calls that we could check to just in case they don't give us the light. Like, he has to have control. And this is a big reason why you have this, like, the other side of this coin, Damon, is the 6-minute offense. Kyle Shanahan's better at anybody at running the clock out because that exact same thing. There's a perfect play call here.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Being a front runner sounds like an insult, but it's not when you're in the lead and front running. Like I he's a great front runner.
Yeah, but you're right. Coming from behind, not his repertoire. And it's never going to be. And I was, you know, one of the things about the 2024 offseason that I thought was crazy is we never saw the 49ers win a game where they weren't out in control of everything until they got to the playoffs. They had a come from behind victory against the Packers. They had one of the biggest come from behind victories ever versus the Lions. And then the Super Bowl, Brock Purdy walked onto the field not once, not twice, but three times in fourth quarter and overtime, tied or trailing, and walked off the field with the lead. And I thought that this was the opportunity for Shanahan and even Purdy to a lesser extent to get rid of that kind of narrative that, hey, can't come from behind. Like they did it three times. It just paired with the defense's biggest letdowns four straight, in fact. And it just wasn't enough. Patrick Mahomes got you. But I thought that was the chance, David, for them to get past that narrative. And it just didn't happen. So they still have to prove that.
Nick Bosa tackles Patrick Mahomes on fourth down. Brock is making $60 million a year. Dale writes, you know, Kyle's success is more than his failures, Damon, so he isn't looking at that. He isn't going to change because what he does works already. Now, I agree with you. This guy is a much better than a lot of people want to admit football coach. When other football teams are copying what you do, that is an acknowledgement that you got the right guy for the job, whether or not you won the Super Bowl that year or he's dumped two Super Bowls, whatever you want to say. Shanahan is good at what he does. But, you know, when we were down in Santa Clara talking to Robert Saleh and Brant Boyer for the very first time this year, Saleh said something that I thought was really interesting, that he's always projecting where offenses are going 2-3 years down the road. In other words, you have to evolve. No matter what you do well today, you're going to have to stack something more on top of that tomorrow because everybody's studying what you do well. You're not going to creep up on anyone. And I think Shanahan lost his joie de vivre as a coach last year, and all of the, like you were talking about earlier, John, the we're going to use this play in the first quarter to set up a play in the third quarter that you think is coming and the opposite happens. That's great, but it's happening less and less. It's more infrequent. And I think that, you know, other coaches pick up on your trends, especially when they study you 6 days a week. So Kyle is great at what he does, but he also needs to evolve. And hopefully Christian McCaffrey helps him get back to that. My skeleton key is here to unlock the corners of my playbook and I can do what I want again. That's what I really, really hope. John, I thought that the 49ers did a pretty bad job selling some of the tough cuts that they had to make in the offseason. And as you wrote on Twitter, and I don't think even 49ers fans understand this, the 49ers have about $52 million in cap space, which is second in the NFL. They have 18% of their salary cap unused and can roll it over or fluff contracts going forward the way that they just took care of Warner and Kittle. The 49ers are not now financially hamstrung and optionless because Brock Purdy's making so much money. And it seemed like that was the number one fear. Pay Brock X. The rest of the team can't do why. That's not about to happen.
No. No, Brock Purdy's not even a top six cap hit this year on the 49ers. Now, next year, $24 million cap hit, 2027, $30 million cap hit. But no, like all the narrative of we have to cut all these contracts because we're going to pay Brock Purdy. I'm sorry, none of those contracts. Leonard Floyd, Malik Collins, even Deebo Samuel, like, I'm not saying that they were the wrong moves to make. So, like, I'm not criticizing that. I'm saying the narrative of, well, you have to because you're going to pay Brock. Those two things do not, they are not mutually exclusive. They are mutually exclusive. The problem is this, and when you asked me, I think the first question, what are you concerned about? I'm concerned about the depth. And I'm not the people like, well, who would you have signed? Would you have signed Joey Bosa? No. I'm not talking like these big 12, 15 million, $20 million a year players. I'm talking about depth pieces that you have the money right now to go get. There's still free agents out there, and maybe they will add some of those. But the way in which the 49ers cut $7 million off of George Kittle's contract extension, they cut $18 million off of Fred Warner's cut, which we just got those numbers this morning. That's $25 million in and of itself on those two-year extensions. Now, they usually roll the money forward. And the my favorite thing about their current cap, financial, whatever, is that they do have options. If there's an injury or they want to get somebody big at the trade deadline, they have the financial cap space to do so with ease. Now, let's just say, hey, magically, nobody gets injured. All the rookie class hits. Home runs, we're great. Get into, you know, the trade deadline. We'll just roll all that money forward. Because, again, whenever you're looking at it, $52.3 million cap space available, that's almost 20% of the salary cap they haven't used. And you add on to that $81 million dead cap space, you're talking about over 40% of this cap is not being used on the team. So you're operating at 60% what teams are allocated to use. By definition, financially, you are not optimizing what you can for this year. And I get it with what happened last year. And I know that the 49ers are a perpetual roll the cap space forward team, but you're competing against team using only 60% of the cap that is allocated to compete. That is an issue that I don't like, but it does give them ways in which that they could, you know, kind of step forward with that.
I would like to have seen them added more off the street free agents, undrafted free agents, like you said, just to get more bodies in camp, and maybe you find a guy. Odds are you don't, but maybe you do. And I wish Niners, I wish the NFL at large would just expand rosters. I wish they would grow the game day roster from 50 and change to 60. And I just think that the consistency that football sometimes lacks on field is because you got guys getting thrown into games and they just met everybody on Wednesday. I'd love to see the sport allow its teams more consistency by doing that. And again, I know this is something that Kruger and I have talked about. They didn't go out and sign an awful lot of off the street guys. The chances of them making the team or just being practice squatters are probably better than, you know, okay, now here's the difference between you winning the NFC title game or not. But like you said, depth. You never know when you're going to need it, and it feels like they have money to spend. I will say this, though. It is clear football teams don't care about dead cap space, so why should we? I feel like fans love to have general manager anxieties, and that's fine. But these GMs have no anxiety about dead cap space. Sometimes it's really detrimental, I guess. And other times you can walk away from Russell Wilson's contract and still go to the playoffs, Denver Broncos.
It's the way it goes. And, you know, the 49ers lead the NFL, $81 million, like by a considerable margin. Next year, they fall to about $20 million dead cap space. And so, yeah, I'm with you. And you're seeing this again with the void years and all that. Like, it's just, it's a new way to manipulate the salary cap and kind of all those things. And Roger Goodell's come out and even said he doesn't like it. He wants to add some adjustments. And the 49ers are one of the biggest culprits as far as this management. And now this is the positive side of it. Because they take advantage of some of those loose restrictions, you have people like Roger Goodell saying, hey, if this doesn't fix itself, I'm going to step in because this is forcing some of the owners to spend more money than they're comfortable with. And that's who signs Roger Goodell's paychecks.
I'm glad that you brought it up because I actually have the tweet here from Warren Sharp, who, again, I think is one of the sharpest guys, no pun intended, covering football. He says, Roger Goodell doesn't like the integrity of the salary cap system right now. There's a strong trend to creatively raise contracts in cash, but down in the cap hit with void years, and it hurts some teams. 85% of the NFL is now cash over cap. And, you know, look at what Jed York just did. Sells off a percentage of the team that has a ton of liquid cash flowing in. He goes out, splashes it around Purdy, Warner, and Kittle. And you're right. The 49ers are the problem that Roger Goodell has with the cap right now. And I wonder if he were to put up barriers to the way Parag goes about business, how quickly they would have to go. Like, here's the thing. We all know this. There's no such thing as a rule that smart people aren't immediately looking for loopholes around.
That's Mark Grace, baby.
Thank you. That is the job. And if I feel like the NFL could solve this, but they also want the salary cap very much to be a manipulatable illusion at the same time. So say whatever you want, Roger, about not liking the system. It's the system you guys insisted on in several CBAs.
Yeah, and this CBA signed through 2030, which is the last year of Brock Purdy's deal. Let's just look forward to that crazy mess in 2030 even more so. But, like, yeah, this ain't changing. You know, we've got six seasons, including this year, of this CBA, and I think everybody's relatively happy with it. But this and again, I can guarantee you the Cincinnati Bengals owner, the Cleveland Browns owner, they're the ones that are going to Goodell saying, fix it. We don't want to pay this much money. And, you know, you look at Jed and, you know, he's top 10, you know, kind of net worth amongst owners. And he even had to sell a portion of his ownership to get these cash deals done. I'm not mad. It's not my money.
Right. That beer is going to be $17 no matter what they do. So, you know, there you go. By the way, Dale, thanks again for the super. Barry Ford, bang, bang from Memphis. Happy that Salah's back home. Excited about this new D. Mary sends her love to you and the missus. Great show. Four for the ganja jar. Thank you very much, Barry. We're going to round that up and call it $5 going into the ganja jar. We thank you very, very, very much. Let's, John, talk a little bit about TJ Houshmandzadeh, who just said, I believe this morning or yesterday on FS1, saying, you know, I believe they overpaid Brock Purdy. He says, I would have given Brock around $47 million a year. That would have been the most I gave him. And what he clearly doesn't understand is that the new money is $53 million over 5 years, but Brock is still making $5 million this year. So that means it's really a six-year deal that averages out to $45 million a year. So the money that you're saying you were willing to give Brock, the 49ers actually gave them less than that, TJ Houshmandzadeh. And the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems football has, is it's the most consumed sport yet least understood still in America at all times. Not just in terms of X's and O's, but all the business aside. TJ Houshmandzadeh is somebody who's on TV who, instead of explaining what's going on, is getting things wrong. He doesn't even understand it. And you know what? He and these players who played about a decade ago still have numbers locked in their minds for positions, for talent that no longer exist. And there has to be, again, something that I've been talking about with Larry, with anyone. $20 million a year is about to be a yawn for any starter in football. If you are a starter who will not be replaced by injury, you're a $20 million a year conversation that's about to happen. The cap is exploding. It will not stop going up. So everyone tries to take a number today and fit it into an equation tomorrow, and they haven't even seen what that equation looks like, and they're complaining about it.
Well said, Damon. Talking about the cap going up, this is the last COVID exemption year, 2025. Next year is going to be astronomical. With the TV rights deals and all that stuff. So, like, what your deal looks like today, and I think Brock Purdy, you talk about that $45 million. If you pay a quarterback, in my opinion, the basis is this. Is this somebody that can win primetime games? Is this somebody that can win in the playoffs? And if you could answer those two things, you keep that damn quarterback. Like, if you can win in the playoffs, you keep that quarterback. I believe that. Now, I understand quarterback wins are not just a quarterback stat and blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Right. If this is, and again, I just talked about the Green Bay comeback, the Detroit comeback, and three times in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter and overtime, you pay that guy. And so I do not mind whatsoever paying guys that have performed continuously. And this is somebody that got paid under what Tua got. How many playoff wins or playoff performances has Tua brought? How many division titles? How many? Whatever, like right. That's not there.
Hasn't been a big game since he stepped off the campus in Tuscaloosa.
So sorry, House of Manili. You do what you got. That's one of the best commercials ever. I don't know if you remember the old one. I'll take. Who's your mama? House of Manili. yeah, I think that this is just kind of like a clickbait thing. Didn't do any research. It's sadly those shows that's what works there. I hate it. I try my hardest not to watch them, but everybody sends me the clips and whatever else. But no, do you think Brock Purdy's – go ahead.
What I admire about you and all that I've watched throughout the years is there is clearly an avenue where, you know, fake outrage and anger helps sell the product faster than reasoned approach, yet you maintain a reasoned approach. You're clearly a fan, but you're not some fanboy who gets angry, and you understand football like an adult, not a child.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, you know, I come to this as a coaching background. Like, that was my career.
Where did you come? Tell me about it. Tell me about that.
So I coached down in Texas, Duncanville High School, one of the largest programs in the country. Like, that was my career. Like, I had an office, slept in my office multiple times, whatever. Had to get out of coaching for family reasons and wanted to be a better dad, whatever else. But, like, X's and O's film, like, that's what I love. Now, I am a 49ers fan. And so, like, I'm not a beat reporter. I'm not an insider. I'm a 49ers fan that wants to look at things from a coaching perspective. And so, you know, I get a lot of the questions. Why don't the 49ers trade for Joe Burrow? Or, you know, like, I get that, and that's fun, and I want to participate in that.
Why not
However,
throw the sun and the moon at the same time? I mean, why not? Why not trade for the sun?
Yeah, and so, like, I do believe, Damon, and man, shout out to you. Like, there is logical football discourse that can take place that isn't based on clickbait and rage and whatever else. And am I ever going to be the highest paid guy? No, that ain't my goal. My goal is to enjoy Tuesdays at 11:45 with guys that love football like Damon Bruce. I think we win, man. I'll take this every single day because I'm having a damn good Wednesday.
By the way, there you go. You said two. It feels like a Tuesday because of Memorial Day. And that weekend always screws you up when you get a 3-day, or it really does. By the way, we break for supers and thank Dale. Is it Dale dipping in for a third time today, saying draft position blinders when it comes to Brock doesn't matter. Doesn't matter in the argument, discussion, or the bar stool. And I really do agree with that. I think that just playing the silhouette game. If you attached Brock's success attributes and statistic to a silhouette game, the entire world would be like, well, yeah, that's a guy you pay. But then you actually turn the silhouette into a picture of Brock Purdy and everyone's like, whoa. Like, there is some draft bias absolutely still in effect for Brock Purdy. And I'll also admit, he is not the perfect physical specimen guy. But there has been an oversell on physical specimen when the single most important thing a quarterback has is the noodle. You know, not the noodle arm, the noodle. And I think this guy is a football computer, and he processes what he sees in front of him. That is Kyle's demand on his quarterback, and he's clearly met that demand. To me, you're right. If you got a winning guy, you want to keep that guy. It's just that simple. And then what you really don't want is because you kept that guy, your quarterback's new contract makes it prohibitive doing business elsewhere. And again, we cannot stress enough, even with Brock Purdy's new contract, the 49ers do not live in that world. They are not handcuffed to do big free agent business or make a trade or do something this offseason or just keep the players around, like you said, by rolling all that cap over. And I mean, look at what they've done for a team that, you know, has been dragged through the "you're operating cheap now," you know, lane of glass. They've handed out nearly $1 billion of contracts to a handful of guys who are their leaders. And it's, I think they're a well-built team. Are they a little top heavy? Yes, but I still like them.
One more just quick thing about the Brock Purdy contract.
Yes.
Okay. If we jump to 2027, 3 seasons from now, Brock Purdy's cap hit is 16th among quarterbacks right now. So in 2020, now think about all the new quarterbacks, all the quarterbacks, like 3 years from now, Brock Purdy's salary cap hit is 16th among quarterbacks now.
Right.
Geno Smith has a bigger contract hit 3 years from now. Like, this deal was so friendly to the 49ers cap structure for a long time. For a long time.
Who will be the first $70 million a year quarterback? Jaden?
It should be Jaden. But if I was one of those other five teams that got quarterbacks, I'm getting that damn deal way before Jaden.
100%.
Like, so, like, yeah, if I'm Bo Nix, I think Bo Nix gets signed first because he's the oldest. Like, that Bo Nix deal is probably going to be first, and then Caleb, and then probably, I don't know, Drake May. Drake May, a little dark horse here. I think Drake May might be, he might be the truth, man. I'm kind of a big Drake May guy. Yeah, I think he's got something.
Drake May's got more scoot in his game than people realize. That guy can run. He's an athlete. He really is. When it comes to slowing down the run, I mean, it was clearly the priority of this season's draft. Mikael Williams was a player that I think sort of gave everyone a little bit of pause, felt like maybe a little bit of a reach. Then you heard that, man, they were even trying to trade up to make sure that they got him. So they are 100% sold. And it feels like the football world is starting to march in the this might be the guy direction. The defensive rookie of the year buzz from the latest ESPN article is, you know, the first to say, hey, they may have gotten a real one here. I got to tell you, though, the way that Alfred Collins and CJ West play together is what I'm most excited about on this defensive line. Now, I hope, you know, Mr. Williams shows everyone why he was the number one pick, and we're going to be in awe of the guy with, you know, 5 weeks into his career. That would be great. That would be fantastic. Having gone to Indiana, I watched an awful lot of CJ West, and CJ West hadn't in his entire life had a player the size of Alfred Collins around him. He was the guy absorbing the blocks and looking to, you know, clean up the crumbs of other plays. The fact that CJ West now gets to clean the crumbs around Alfred Collins, who is a gargantuan human being, and I hope he's healthy and ready to go here. I am really excited about the two of them on the defensive line, and I think this is where Robert Saleh is going to show everybody. Let me show you what a little coaching looks like here.
And I will say, of both the defensive tackle, Alfred Collins, CJ West, they didn't really play the same style of defense. They both were two gappers. They both were run stuffers, and I think they can do that. But, you know, Chris Kucerik and Robert Saleh, that's a one-gap penetrating defensive tackle, three-technique shade style defense. And that's get up field. We're not crossing linemen's face. We're not, you know, doing all that stuff.
Right, so, we're not stunting and curling all over the place.
There's a little bit more of a projection with those two. But the foundation is these guys are going to stop the run. We're going to force third and long. We're not going to break the record for most rushing touchdowns allowed by a 49ers defensive again. That's not happening this year. So what you're doing is you're forcing them into third and longs. Then you're hoping the back end kind of takes care of things. And both CJ and Alfred Collins can morph into this penetrating pass rusher. And I think that both can, especially Alfred Collins, because there's different ways to impact the passer. Alfred Collins has a bigger wingspan than LeBron James. Like, this guy is unbelievably long, tall, wide, whatever you want to say. Like, this dude's a monster. And so I'm super excited. Now, it is weird. You know, I don't be talking CBA. The second round picks this year, almost none have signed. For the first time ever, the first second-round pick got a fully guaranteed contract, and now every other second-round pick is just sitting there saying,
I want that, maybe, too.
I want that, too. This is new. And so I think three or four second-round picks have signed. Almost everybody, first-rounders, third-round, fourth, almost everybody signed across the NFL. And so I am a little, not that it's Alfred Collins thing, but he's not signed yet either. That's a little bit of a weird area right now with the CBA, and I think we're in new territory right here.
Where do you stand on Vibes? Because I really thought that Vibes were way off this time last year, and it's the complete opposite right now. It feels like everybody's showing up lunch pail, ready to go, ready to put that work in. You got, you know, you had Brock Purdy and George Kittle around OTAs before pen was put to paper on either of their deals. Fred Warner, he's always around. You can't ask Fred Warner to leave the building. That guy's just forever there. And it just feels like everything that was off last year is back on this year. And again, am I stupid for thinking that? I don't think I am. I think it does matter. I mean, I know they're all pros and they're all mercenaries and they really don't give a shit, but the vibe's got to be right. The vibe, they do. And I think that they're right now.
And I mean, the rewarding of the players in the house, like from players watch contracts. Right. And so seeing Fred, seeing Demo last year, seeing Warner, seeing Purdy, like, and Kittle, that matters. You love to see your guys get paid. You love to see new coaches come in that are established. The schedule in and of itself, like you look at that schedule and it's like, ooh, this is nice. Rest days. Oh, awesome. One Thursday game, still five primetime game. Okay. Like, oh, everybody's in house for OTAs. Everybody's for voluntary, man. Like everything is just on the up and up. And Ayuk's the only one that's really not around, but he's out golfing with the guys. And so even that, you know, with the injury and stuff, man, you just love to see it. I don't know if you got to see any of the workout videos with Jacob Cowan, Ricky Pearsall, Brock Purdy in Florida. Imagine where we were at this point last year. I mean, Ricky Pearsall still hadn't gone over his hamstring injuries. Like there were issues with Cowan, and now they're all working out together. Like you cannot find an area where it's just not, man, things are better. And I think that it matters. They're rested. I'm rested compared to last year. You know, I sit here and talk, but we travel and we do all these events. I feel way better compared to where we were last year. Not to mention all the horrible off the field stuff that so many players had to go through. You know, the prayers up to those guys. But like, things just seem like a weight is off the shoulders. I think that's going to translate. I really, really do.
I do as well. I think it does matter. Now, the season starts unfolding and everything can change real quickly, and we all know that. This is why this is the most successful league in America, because the drama is just, it's built into every single week, and whoever you think you are this Sunday, you can be something completely different the next Sunday, and finding consistency from half to half of football games is hard enough to do, much less from week to week. And this is where I just think that people need to understand that, you know, Kyle Shanahan is really good at this, and being consistent all the time is the mark of good coaching. Now, I know that last year was a huge letdown, but if you can't understand the genesis of that letdown, again, you probably shouldn't be talking about why no one is good at their job. This is a well-run football team, and you don't need to look around the NFL too far to see what poorly run teams look like. So I'm very excited for the year. I think the 49ers have added coaching competency. I think they've added a very interesting rookie crop. I am very interested in year two from, like you said, Garrendo and Pearsall especially. Like, people want to be the first to deliver the judgment. This guy's going to be a stud. This guy's going to be a bust. I've seen enough of Ricky Pearsall to know we got no freaking clue what this guy's going to be yet.
Especially with what he came off of. Like, not only the back-to-back hamstrings, he had two shoulder issues. Like, this is a guy that didn't miss one game in college, 51 games consecutive. But he came into training camp. Like, I was at training camp trying to find him. I was like, where is 14? Like, that dude had the fewest amount of snaps ever in a 49ers training camp. That dude had no practices. Then you have the gunshot. And so it overcome all of that. And to be able to step in and do what he did down the stretch, man, sky is the limit. It really, really is. And we're going to find out pretty damn quick, because you only have two really capable receivers going into the start of the season, with Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall. And what did Ricky Pearsall? I was brought in to beat man coverage. Like, how refreshing is that? Pairing up a wide receiver that perfectly suits your quarterback. And again, long-term vibes. The idea of having eventually Brandon Ayuk back, Ricky Pearsall, George Kittle, and Brock Purdy together, like that skill set for the next 3 to 4 years. Holy freaking cow, man. That it's pretty special what you've got. Can it come to fruition? Can those steps be made? There's going to be some learning curves for Pearsall. No doubt about it. Sophomore year wide receivers kind of struggle under Shanahan. Just going to be honest. But
so do freshmen. Yeah. And some juniors. I mean, look, Shanahan hates his wide receivers with love. He hates them with love. But he does not like trusting young players at all.
Oh, man, I'm pumped, dude. It's I hope that he could trust. I hope Jacob Cowan wins that number three wide receiver job early. I'm a little hesitant. I can see Isaiah Hodges being in there, or maybe even a Trent Taylor, which grosses me out. But like, I really hope the young pups get that shot. And yeah. I think you have to do that across the board because, again, the lack of depth. So I think we're going to see a bigger rookie involvement than what we're used to this year. And I'm totally okay with that.
Postman in Capitola, who always gets a
oy.
Thank you, Postman. He said, did the 49ers dodge a bullet by passing on Joey Bosa? I know that he's already hurt in Buffalo, which means that's who Joey Bosa is at this point in his career. There's always something a little wrong, a lingering, nagging, whatever. And for him to begin a year like that, that's not a good sign. I'll tell you where they dodged the bullet. And I love the guy, Dre Greenlaw. That was a really hard walk away. It was the right choice.
And I don't even know if it was a choice the 49ers made. They offered more. Eventually, they came in late to the party. Yeah, but we'll see how that pans out. I think Trey's going to be ready from the reports I saw that it wasn't near as bad as what it was. But, yeah, he's got a lot to overcome. He was my favorite player on the team, man. So I wish him nothing but the best. I think that Broncos defense is going to be scary. But, yeah, he's missed a lot of time. And I have no problem getting younger. Do I think Nick Martin's going to be able to step in and take that? The opportunity's there, and I sure as hell hope he does.
Did you have a conversation with Nick Martin recently?
Yeah, we had him on the show a couple weeks ago, and it was just a blast. He's a Texas guy, too, so, like, right. We grew up not too far from each other. But, like, man, his personality, you know, the best thing that came across was I was like, man, what are your plans rookie year? Are you trying to start right away? Or I couldn't even finish the sentence. He's like, yeah, I'm starting week one. Like, his mentality is just film, aggression. Like, he's got the right makeup. The film's fun. I'm telling you, the personality fits. Like, he's going to be one of those locker room guys that I think 49ers fans are going to gravitate to.
A little bit of actual housekeeping today. Veteran punter is in Santa Clara, Thomas Morstead. And if Wisnowski's back isn't right, the 49ers might start this year with a new punter. We'll see what happens. 17-year career guy, two stints with the Jets, including his last stop where he was obviously being coached by Brant Boyer, who is now the 49ers special teams coach. And again, just right there alone, 49ers get better at keeping their running lanes on punt attempts. That could be two more wins right there. Right. There was, you cannot be worse than 32nd in special teams. There is no 33rd. So they can only improve there. And I guess that brings us to everybody's $50,000 question. You trust Jake Moody?
No. The answer is absolutely no. Now, I am okay with giving him a chance and having somewhat of a camp battle. This is not a camp battle with Greg Joseph that they brought in, who hasn't been able to stay on one team for multiple years. Like, that was kind of the bummer. And when Brant Boyer had his first press conference, he's like, he got defensive real quick. What did he say? He's like, every single team had a number one kicker in the draft day. Like, it was like, whoa, calm down, man. All right. Like, yeah. You kind of feel it. And so I will say this, like, there's the Kyle Shanahan loyalty program where he brings in all the players and coaches and people that know his dad and him. Brant Boyer's got a little loyalty complex too. Not that it's a bad thing, but man, you're bringing out the old hats. You got a 40-year-old long snapper. Morstead's been around for 17 years. Greg Joseph been around. Like, you're bringing in some old, you know, yeah, I got a little grays. I got some grays up here, my man. And I might be going out for a tryout here soon for the 49ers special teamers with Brant Boyer.
Look, the old gray fox is
That's
in the
right.
room. So as we were talking about at the beginning of our conversation, John, the road trips that you have put together, that you meet up and greet up on the road with 49ers fans, is something that I really, really admire about what you've done. And clearly it's been a huge portion of your success in the community that you've been able to build. If anyone who is watching me on my channel is seeing you for the first time, which is absurd because John's been doing this forever. But people are making plans. They get that schedule, and instead of doing just W's and L's, they start thinking, well, where are we going? Now, number one with a bullet on this road trip is New Orleans, week two. Man. See, that's, you can't have more fun in an NFL city than going to New Orleans. I'm sure you're looking forward to that one. Starting up in Seattle will be fun, too. If people want to learn more about the road trips, your meetups, the 49ers rush trips, how do they go about doing that, and where do they sign up to know where you're going to be with every road game?
Yeah, go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, okay? 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. And again, the whole idea is to provide safe space for Niners fans to get together in this enemy territory. And these do sell out. We rent out venues that fit anywhere from 200 to, you know, 300 people. We do giveaways, trivia, best dress competition. Kids, we give every single kid that ever comes into an event, they leave with something tangible that they could tie this event to. I became a fan because of a jersey, you know, whenever I was 9 years old. So we try to replicate that as much as possible. Hey, you talk about New Orleans, man. Oh, dude, we got a seafood station at our tailgate. We got red beans and rice. We got jambalaya. We got it all, baby.
Like, Here we go. Dude,
yeah, I'm so pumped about it. And we're just two blocks from the stadium in a private lot so that we could start earlier and we could last longer and all that kind of stuff. So, again, go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. These events do sell out. Probably the worst thing about doing these events is whenever people show up the day of, or they'll say, hey, I want to come to your event. And I'm like, man, we are out of space. We're not here to oversell. We're not here to make crazy profits. That's not what we're doing. A lot of times our goal is to break even and just throw. I make money on the podcast and my sponsors. The tailgates is just because I love partying. I'm just going to be honest and bringing people together. So if you want to go, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, go get your tickets. And we're on the TickPick app. Just look at 49ers Rush and all of our events pull up.
Nicholas says, great show, guys. Hopefully I can join you on it. I would love to. I really would. I'd love, again, I was telling John earlier, I got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. So that makes getting out of town a little harder than it would. Maybe a few years from now. Yeah,
ooh, there we go. Three
boys. That would be fantastic. This is Ryan saying, I really appreciate the both of you. You do amazing jobs with all the clickbait bullshit. Thank you very much. Well, thank you for realizing that and knowing it. And this is, I guess this is what happens when you got adults in the room. So it was a pleasure to be finally doing a show with you today, John. This was long overdue. I've been wanting to put it together. I'm glad that we finally did it, and I hope it's the first of many because I really enjoyed it, and I know that the audience did too. Thanks to everyone for the supers. Thanks for the likes. Thanks for the subscriptions and subscribing and becoming a member. And, John, tell everyone again where they can get your podcast and plug away one more time.
Yeah, I'll say this. It's the first time I've been called an adult in a month. So thank you, David. I appreciate that, brother. 49ers Rush. Anywhere you watch and or listen or download content, we're there. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, you name it. We're all over the place. We have a great social media team. But yeah, we go live nonstop all year, much like Damon. And so, yeah, add this to your repertoire, 49ers fans. Don't take away. And for those that listen to my show, go check out David. You know who this dude is. That voice is freaking unbelievable. I wish I had books that were narrated by Damon Bruce. That voice is unbelievable, man. I'm just saying.
Thank you. I actually have never been enamored with my own voice. I always thought it was a detriment to me being like I didn't have one of those voices, and I sure needed more bass in it. But not there. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And John, I appreciate your work and the community that you built. And again, just having been thrown into the space, I'm looking around for examples of how to do it and what I like being done. And you check both those boxes. So keep it up, man. A real pleasure. And thank you for joining us today. Like and subscribe both channels, boys and girls. Thanks to everyone who dropped a super. Thanks to everyone who hit that like and subscribe on both these channels. And as I tell you all the time, please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, they're gone.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to AeroHit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.